Hello, all you lovely people. We are back again with the latest episode of our podcast. This is Pratiksha, and I'm with my co-host Pratik, and we welcome you to the Sustainability 101 podcast. We are here to make your sustainability journey a bit more exciting and double, because sustainability isn't all metal straws and measuring your carbon footprint. It's a fun and diverse piece of life, and that you can be a part of.
Yes, we are so excited to talk to you guys. Before we continue, we just want to thank you all for the tremendous support we have received on our podcast.
Really, you guys are amazing. If you ever want to send us any suggestions, thoughts, or ever even submit your art or blog post, remember to contact us on our website. We really would love to include your contribution.
Yes, make sure to visit us on www.sustainability101podcast.com. That's a podcast with an S in the end. If you go to our contact us page on our website, you'll find all the ways you can reach out to us. We are always happy to hear from you.
So Pratik, tell them about our wonderful guest today.
Today's guest is just like us. She's here to advocate environmental change, and we are here for it as well. During her studies, she worked on a zero emissions project in a jail in Varodhara. She has a master's degree from University College Dublin, and she's currently working as a writer at the International Council for Circular Economy.
If you are not impressed already, which we definitely are, she has been selected for an internship at the Action for Climate Empowerment at UNFCCC, UNFCCC. That is oh, wonderful.
I know, it is such an amazing achievement.
Exactly. So get ready to hear about this incredible guest, Risha Toms.
Yay. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
Risha, so happy to have you here. We can't wait to hear about everything you do.
Actually, I'm more excited than you to hear and recollect all the memories about myself.
That's awesome. How about you tell us a little bit about who you are, and then we can ask you some questions.
Okay. Thank you, Pratiksha. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast. I think there are very few sustainability podcasts, especially in India, happening, and you guys are one of them. I'm very happy that Pratik, Pratiksha and all could come together with this initiative. So a little bit about myself. I'm just like you guys. I'm almost your age, I feel. I'm in Ireland right now, and I have done a master's in climate change from University College Dublin, as you guys know. So the master's was quite online because of COVID. So I kind of missed on the hands-on experience part, but it's okay, fine, because I got to do internships and stuff. Because the good thing about the pandemic is that things are now online. So you can sit at your home and do work from anywhere in the world. So right now I'm like writing content for ICCE, which is very interesting. That's a bit about myself. Yeah, you can ask me more questions.
Okay. Risha, you are an inspiration for me, and your goals really define your success. I would really like to know what keeps you motivated, and how can we or I help you to design or mainstreaming climate education program in India?
Okay. So what keeps me motivated is that whenever I go on Instagram and I'm following a lot of environmental pages, like how you guys might be doing also. So I always hear about some wildfire happening in some corner of the world. So even if you might feel that you are nothing, you must remember that all the people and all the wealth they have and all the intelligence they have, we can't stop these fires, which means that humanity in essence is useless. I mean, we can't do anything with our education, our college, our degree, if we can't stop fires, if we can't stop sea level water rising and things like that. So that keeps me motivated that, see, Risha, these guys couldn't do anything, but you can do this. Okay, you can bring in change that these guys couldn't bring it. I think that's what keeps me motivated.
That is
Wow,
amazing.
that's so wonderful. And I'm sure our audience would love to hear this too. We can feel so insignificant when things like this happen, but
yeah,
we
it's
need
out
to,
of our control.
yeah, but we need
Yeah.
to do our best, and you are already on that path. So yeah, it's totally inspiring.
Thank you so
So
much, Prithvi.
why don't we start? So I'll start with the first question. As I mentioned in your bio that you have worked on a zero emissions project in a jail in Vadodara. So we would love to hear more about this if you don't mind.
Okay, so I'll just give you like an introduction because the introduction is going to make it way more interesting. So when I was in my college, there was a need of an English tutor in jail because in women's jail, okay, I didn't work in men's jail because okay. If you're a woman, then you can work only in women's jail as a hotel. So I was in the women's jail and I had to go there to take English classes for the inmates. So the main problem with being a woman is that when a woman goes to jail, her whole family abandons her. But when a man goes to jail, everyone remembers him. They, you know, stand outside the jail to give him tiffin. They come on Raksha Bandhan, Diwali. And when a woman goes to jail, nobody cares. You know, even when she's out after her sentence, no one takes her. Even her husband or children do not accept her. When I was in the women's jail, I came to know how so many women, there is nobody to even, you know, pay for their bail. Like there's nobody to even help them hire a lawyer because their family abandons them. So that's the bad thing about being a woman in India.
Oh my God, that's so wrong.
And I didn't know. I wasn't aware of this. Thank you for bringing this to light.
Yeah, sad. And most of the women, you know, I have seen that in the jail, they are in the jail because they can't hire good lawyers. That's the problem because they can actually get out. Like there are big criminals, you know, who do various things and they get out on bail. But what about these small criminals who just, you know, did a small theft? Like how are they in jail for 3 years? Because they don't have anyone to like help them sometimes. So of course the government is doing a lot, I must say, in Varodara for these women. And in the same initiative, there was an IPS officer and he was a very honest officer. And he told us that, you know what, these women have nowhere to go once they are, you know, released. When they are out of the jail, like they say, like some of them who I could meet, they said that we became more malnourished because in jail, at least you get food 3 times a day. When you're outside, nobody even like cares about you. So the IPS officer already knew about these things. So when the woman goes out, people don't give her job and, you know, all these things. And many times when the woman goes out of the jail, the husband is already remarried some other wife, you know. So obviously you can't go back to your mother's house, right, in India. So that's why the IPS told that you have to do something that they have money, that in when they go out, they at least have some amount of money that they can start their life. They can do some tailoring business or, you know, anything, a beauty parlor, anything. So that's why we came up with this initiative of making sanitary pads from bamboo fiber. As we know that bamboo is sustainable. It's not like cotton, which requires a lot of pesticides and stuff. So this machine, we got it sponsored from the Gas Authority of India. It was under a CSR project and it's very convenient to like train them how to make the pad. It was almost the machine does everything, you know, and they have to just put in buttons and thoda upar niche khichna hota hai. And then you have to keep the pads in the sun so that they get disinfected. And then you can sell it for very cheap, you know, to many women, they can't afford a sanitary pad. So that was an initiative and it's called a zero emission project. As I said in my introduction that.
Yeah.
It's because it does not do any kind of pollution and the end product is sustainable. It's biodegradable. If you throw it out in the mud, it will be decomposed. So that's why it's a zero emission project. And at the same time, you know, it gives money to these women. So when they go out, they have something to, you know, lean on.
Yeah, you are so right. Women in jail in India are usually ignored and treated terribly. And it's so horrifying. It's so horrible. And we didn't even think about the menstrual width that such large groups of women could create. And that's really great. And good luck. And this is so amazing. I am really, you know, feeling proud that I sent you the request to come to our podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And like thanks to the Gas Authority of India also for sponsoring the machine.
Oh, okay. So it was like how that project went ahead. And now what is the status of that project? Do you know?
It's still going on, you know. I mean, right now because of COVID, I have no idea because they have there's no COVID case in the jail, of course. So that's why they have restricted all kinds of movements between and outside the prison. And even my friends who are in India, they are not allowed to go to jail anymore to teach English or anything. So I don't know right now, but before COVID, it was going on very well. And even the women, you know, they have some new thing to do, you know, always just sitting and doing nothing all day. So they were also happy.
Yeah. So since many of our students, and what advice do you have for students in India to establish waste management system in Indian institutes?
Okay, so I'm sure you guys have heard about Sahas Zero Waste.
Yes.
Yeah, so I attended a seminar a few days ago and they said how they need clients. Okay, so what they do is anyone can hire them and they will charge you a service fee and they're going to collect all the waste and recover 96% of the waste. Hardly 4% will go to the landfill or something. Thing like that, and most of the waste they will make it into like some useful product like benches, tables, furniture and things like that. So I think this initiative, this private venture like Sahas Zero Waste is something that we have to look for, because even I didn't know about them recently, and they are like hired by IPL stadiums and cricket stadiums, and you know, even by IIT Bombay. So the only problem that they face is convincing people to pay a fee, and that's because like in your house, in my house, when I was in India, the garbage people, they come, they collect the waste, and what they do is they throw it in open, like they'll throw it anywhere. Okay, so that's why it's very cheap, like you have to just pay them 15,000 per month salary. But for Sahas, you have to pay them a bit more because they have machines that make these products. They have to pay their employees and have to deal with this big amount of waste. So just because of that nominal difference in the cost, many people are like hesitant to invite initiatives like this in their surroundings. So I think we have to like spread about this on LinkedIn. They're ready to, you know, outsource. When you can outsource your wedding photo shoot, why can't you outsource your waste? Which is like way more important.
Wow.
So, I think that's about one thing I can tell young people, because young people have so many contacts, you know, so you guys can like actually help these kind of initiatives.
Yeah, that's really great. Thank you for bringing that up, Risham. Honestly, like so many colleges in India could look up for systems like this. Like people seem to think that this system usually don't exist, but they actually do. Right.
Yeah. And the waste management industry has potentially equal to the pharma industry. So
correct. Okay.
Profitable.
Yeah. It's a win-win for both the parties.
Yeah.
And that little price can save so many lives, I can feel.
And when there is a fire in a landfill, you know, everyone is like, "Mare ghar pe ganda smell aa raha tha." But I'm like, yeah, bro, that's your waste, you know, that's getting burned there. So it's better to hire somebody who can deal with that waste.
Correct. So moving on, I have a question for you that might help people aiming to boost their career with an UNFCCC internship just like you. So, Risha, what would you say are the ideal qualities in a potential UNFCCC candidate? Like, what was your experience while applying? What qualities did they look at and how did it go for you?
So to be honest, this is very surprising, but the UNFCCC are very busy, you know. Sometimes they might not even have time to look at the applicants. They get more than 200, 300 applicants for one vacancy. And in spite of the fact that it's an unpaid internship, there are people all around the world who want to do this internship. So that's why, like, and, you know, of course, the UN is, as we know, that sometimes it can be understaffed. And when I was in the ACE team, my manager, she got a job in Holland. So she left for Holland. So I didn't have a manager, had a supervisor, but I didn't have a manager for ACE. Like I had a manager for gender and ACE, one person, but not for ACE. So there are things like that in UNFCCC that they're very tight on time. So that's why they can't like look up to the applicants. So I think for my application went through because my senior had already done that internship. So it kind of made a way for me because they were like, this girl did it and yes, ki junior hai, so like get her also. So even when I applied in November and I did not get a reply for like 4 months. I was like, what's wrong? Mera application mein aisa kya hai ki dekha nahi. But the thing is ki they don't have time to look at your application. So I think for people who want a UNF, and even now it's like online, you don't need to go to Germany and spend the money on visa and tickets and accommodation anymore. So I think now when you can do it online, people in India and everywhere can apply for it, and you can do like small tricks like message people from the team that you're applying on LinkedIn and you say that you're very interested in the internship. Also, you need to be doing like your studies because they don't want recent graduates. They want people who are in that semester. So if you say that I finished my master's or my undergrad, they will be like, no, that's a rule for them, the UN rule, that only a student can be an intern, not a graduate. So
okay.
Have to be a student. So that's one requirement. I think like commenting on UNFCCC that, hey, I have applied for this internship, I haven't heard about it and things like that. So they will be like, oh, this guy is really trying. I had chased them like anything, you know, they were kind of fed up of me. I was mailing them. And so that's why I just want to say that because it's an unpaid internship, you might get it. It's easy. It's not like job, you know, you might get it. Mm-hmm. So just like going after them 3-4 times, if you follow up, they will be like, okay, fine, come on board.
So I applied to the UNDP and they didn't respond me till yet because I applied in 2020. I just passed out from the college and I know that there is something which is working for climate change and saving people from this flood and everything. Even the another organization, that time I was so new to this concept, like UNFCCC, UNDP, mm-hmm. and there are so many United Nations organizations which are working for a good cause. And I was so new to this thing. So I struggled a lot. So Risha, the next question of mine is that any plans or goals for the future? And how can we and our audience participate in making those happen for you?
Okay, thank you so much for this question. My plans and goals are actually very crazy. If I tell you, you will be like, that's so unrealistic, you know. So I'm trying to talk to people and expand my network, you know, talk to have Zoom calls with people, because I want to know what can India do to fight climate change. Because as you know, that the situation in India is not very great right now. We have like so many coal mines going on, and recently the government has opened up 30-40 coal mines for auction, you know. And the Aravari Hills are they want to axe it, and there's forest fires happening in Mizoram right now. So there are so many things. So kind of I feel very helpless, you know. I feel like Arimela Pura degree is of no use, because if I can't stop this, so I'm trying to like, the good thing is that people are getting very aware now, you know. It's not like before that sustainability is just like a person who with the environmental science degree. Even people who do engineering and BCom, even they are like, yeah, sustainability, because both it's like very hot. It's 47 in India right now. So you tend to like everyone in the joke also, they will say ki yaar kitna global warming hai. So it's getting kitna wo awareness aa raha hai India mein. That's a good thing. So
yeah,
that's why I want to tell to the audience that not getting an internship in the UNFCCC, it's okay.
Doesn't
because
matter.
It really doesn't matter, because even on my last day of internship, I was talking to my departmental head, who is the communications and engagement departmental head, and he was also expressing us to the same thing that jitla bhi try karo na, UN can't do things if your government is not cooperative. Like so the UNFCCC, this guy was trying to explain to us that, because we were saying that what about the job prospects, you know, after internship, can we get placed in this organization? So he was telling us that I advise you, you guys go to your countries and you work in your government, because we need people in government. Like we are doing our best to, you know, bring up a 1.5 degree agreement, but it's the governments who are not doing enough.
Exactly.
So that's right, actually.
Yeah, so it all depends on the government. Even like I was in the ACE team, and you guys won't believe I'm the only Indian in the ACE team, and India doesn't have an ACE focal point. Like even Pakistan has an ACE focal point. So I was like, oh my god. I asked the manager, like, how can I bring in ACE focal point? And she said that it depends on your government. Like if they want to bring it, they will bring it. So that's why I was like, the whole problem is the government, actually. So I was like, wait, I want to be a politician, you know, I want to be this government and I want to be a member of parliament someday. So it's very crazy. I have no idea how I'm going to reach that goal, but I'm trying to like expand my network because all these environmentalists are working on grassroots levels. But the real change comes from the higher level. Also, there is like this, you know, when the Supreme Court says something, it happens that people don't listen. Like the Supreme Court says that don't cut this forest, but still the cutting is going on, you know, still the illegal fires and man-made fire is going on. So sometimes I feel like Supreme Court ka chalta hi nahi country mein, alag hi country hai to. So, so that's why one of my friends who was my, my co-intern, she started this organization called Lawyers for Climate Action. So these are lawyers who kind of do climate litigation, you know, like they sue their governments. They're very like people, just say government dharti. So there are, I think you guys have heard about this Friends of the Earth, which actually went to Netherlands court and they were the ones who made their 7% of emission reduction to 14% because they litigated for climate change. So even in Ireland, this is going on right now. It's called the climate change case. So I can actually, I want like as youngsters, you can make your politicians responsible. Like you need to look ki tumhara constituency mein kaun politician khada hai, and just go on Instagram. Look, we have social media, and then you just like comment on their pictures. You just tag Climate Action India, like make them feel the heat of Climate Action in India. Like let them know that you can't just be a politician by getting votes. If you want to be a real politician, you have to think about environmental protection and afforestation and mangrove protection and coastal protection and climate change in essence. So I think as youngsters, like right now, we have so much power. Like if you look at any social media post, the comments that youngsters do, they will be like just shooting out their comments like tumhara government big gaya hai, you guys are not getting oxygen. And this is happening, like even the IT cell can't help it. That's the power of the youth. Okay, we are bringing change in this country. So what we as youngsters can do is just we have to just go to our politicians and comment and mail them, you know, like really like chase them, you know, make them fall on their knees and work for climate action.
Oh yeah, correct. We are like we are completely on your side. Learning how you can help your own community is the first step to global change, and that is and as a young people, we have to like.
And Risha, people like you are the reason that awareness is coming. I'm so shocked that India doesn't have an ACE focal point. That's ridiculous.
And hopefully, in some time, we should have. So we can just take it as a prophecy.
Exactly. And you know what? No matter how many individual measures you're taking to practice sustainability at your level, but it won't be like, you know, applicable at a big scale or a larger level until and unless the government take the right steps and they pass the right laws and acts.
Yes.
But as you said, like nowadays people are coming forward, like they are not believing on government motto and what government do. Now they just stop that thinking and then they are just doing whatever in their hand. That is really amazing.
They are just voicing people are changing out their concerns.
Exactly.
Now, humanity is changing now.
Thanks to social media. and COVID, correct. So, like, they say internships are a great way to learn if you're new in the industry. All of us have done them, and some of us are currently involved with some amazing internships, right? And so, Risha, what is the most valuable thing you learned in your various internships throughout your professional career?
Okay, so I think when you apply for an internship, they might write like the role description, you have to do this. But when you are doing your internship, you come to know that you do something else sometimes, you know. Like when I was with the GAP, like Global Action Plan Ireland, I was a research intern, but I ended up making a waste toolkit, which was not as part of the initial plan. So when you're applying for an internship, you have to be ready to wear many hats because they might tell you, do this, do that, abhi ye karke dikhao. So you have to be like ready for doing different kinds of things. I think other valuable thing is before the internship only, you have to make it clear to your manager that give me tough work, like because that really helps your CV. You can't be doing like small stuff all the time. Sometimes it's okay. But before internship only, you have to tell your prospective manager that I need to, this is my learning objective, and I need to tick on them after I finish, you know? So give me the most difficult work, like give me work that you give to an employee, like trust me, I'll do it. So you have to like keep the communication clear, because many times they're like not happened with me, but I'm telling about other people that they get kind of misused as interns, you know. They might be given like work and then it's not great work, and when you finish the internship, oh, my CV is not attractive and it's not great. So I think that
That's you are true. Saying something which is really you know, nobody ever think of that we have to talk to manager or respective person about that give me this task, I can complete it. And that was like superficial, like I don't know what to say right now, but you know, this is a new way I found out, and thank you for that.
And also, like, one more thing that you can apply for like internships in small companies, because that's what I felt like when you work for a big organization, you might be given like administrative work, you know, same thing every day, you know. But if you work for a small organization like Sahas, like I have never worked for them, but I'm just saying, you get to do so much interesting stuff, because they are already short on employees, so they make you work like an employee only, and that actually enhances your CV, and you even like have chances of getting a job in that place. I think it doesn't matter, like meko to ye isme internship karna hai. No, you can do it like any small organization. Like you can actually be the co-founder of an organization by doing that internship.
Yeah, that's true. And you get to do so much hands-on work when you work for a smaller company.
When you are given like so many jobs, and I wanted to say that, like, when you are doing so many roles for a smaller organization, and you actually get to know by the time your internship ends that what is best for you and what is, like, you know, what is your inclination towards. So it also helps you to figure out, and not only do internships help to develop your professionalism, but also they encourage character growth. And many employers, even they value like personal qualities over professional knowledge. So when it comes to employment.
Yeah. Plus, it's like a crash course in professional life, and you get to meet a new people. Like I met Prateek at Earthfire, and
and that journey started.
Yeah.
So that was really great. Your answers were really amazing, Risha.
Thank you so much, Prateek.
Yeah, and it was actually. And thank you for answering our questions so thoroughly, Risha. I'm really glad you came here.
Yes, I'm really enjoying where this conversation is heading. And thank you, Risha, for being so generous in answering your questions. Pratiksha, how about we play a game now?
Of course. Have you ever heard of two truths and one lie, Risha?
I've heard of one dare and one truth. I've not heard about this new game.
Okay, so for so let me tell you. So who aren't aware of this game? All three of us will say three things about ourselves, turn by turn. One of both things will lie. Have to guess which one's the lie, and let's see who's the best lie detector.
Yes.
Okay, so in this game, like, all of us have to like tell something about ourselves, and then the other two people will say whether it's a truth or a lie. Okay.
I can go first if you want, and I can go first if you want, like. And if you guys are listening and want to play along, you can send us a DM on Instagram with your answers. So first thing, let me think. I love swimming, first thing. Second, I like cats more than dogs. And third would be, I have never watched Game of Thrones. So you have to guess two truths and one lie.
I think Prateek can guess first, and then I can guess.
Okay. As far as I know her, I think she hasn't watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Okay. You're very committed to sustainability, I think, then.
I don't know why, but okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay. So now I can go, and then Risha can All right.
Yeah, but tell me, na, I love swimming or not?
No, oh, actually, okay. So we have to guess that as well. All right.
Yeah.
Because now we know that Pratiksha has not watched Game of Thrones. We know that she likes dogs more than cats, and yeah, she likes swimming also.
I like.
I think she likes swimming, but she hasn't tried swimming. I guess.
Oh yeah.
Right.
That's correct. Yeah, I love swimming. I used to watch those, wo koi channel pe aise foreign ke swimmers aise ye karte rehte.
Samundar ke peeche mein.
ठीक है, नाउ लेट्स मूव अहेड. ओके, नाउ रिशा'स टर्न एंड देन प्रतीक विल सी.
ओके,
ओ आई हैवन्ट इवन थॉट. ओके, आई एम लाइक आई हैव टू से टू ट्रूथ्स एंड वन लाई, राइट?
यस.
ओके, फर्स्ट, ब्लैक इज माय फेवरेट कलर. सेकंड, आई हैवन्ट बीन टू अफ्रीका. एंड थर्ड, I know what is permafrost thawing.
You know what is permafrost thawing.
You have to guess whether it's truth. Liar.
It's a truth. It's truth.
A truth for sure.
It's a truth.
Oh my God, I'm so easy.
And black is your favorite color, I guess. And you have never been to Africa, but you really want to go to Africa.
Yeah, yeah. Pratik is very, he knows.
Good at detector.
Yeah, thank you.
Pratik is smart.
Yeah. So that was the lie, right? That was the lie.
You are right, Pratik. Both of you are right.
Okay, awesome. All right. Okay. Yeah, so last is my turn. So I'm not going to make it easy for you guys. So yeah. So here I go. One of my distant cousin is a Bollywood star. I used to win art contests and I hate cooking.
Okay, I hate cooking is a lie.
How do you know that?
No. Yeah, because the first thing was distant cousin. It's a truth, because if it was a lie, you would say my cousin, not my distant
Correct.
Cousin.
Yeah.
And the second thing was is a truth.
Oh my God. You know me so
much. He loves cooking. He can cook anything. Actually, mujhe inspiration Pratik se hi mila tha ki cook kar.
I think Pratik, are you in US or something right now?
Yeah, I'm in New York currently.
So, when you're away from home, you become a chef, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Totally.
Yeah. Agree. Wow, guys, that was so much fun, right?
Yeah, not bad,
hey,
guys.
By the way, who's the distant cousin who is a Bollywood?
So he is...
You can't see on the podcast, okay?
Oh, okay, yeah. I can put it on the chat.
On the podcast, or you want...
Name drop, Pratik.
I mean, I think it's okay, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you can say.
Yeah, it's Anoop Singh Thakur.
Okay, wow. He's your cousin. That's great.
Yeah, like a distant one, but yeah.
Yeah, but when your cousin is a Bollywood actor, you should say he's my brother, not a distant cousin.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'll make sure that. That was a
good
nice
learnings.
Suggestion, Risha.
Good learnings.
Yeah,
he's my bhai. Don't say distant cousin.
Bhai, exactly. Awesome.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And I think we have time for another game now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we do. And how about Never Have I Ever?
Okay, this is going to be fun. Sure, I'll start. Okay, never have I ever gone vegan.
Tu chicken choda.
You said.
मतलब मैंने start किया था vegan बनना, फिर मेरे को chicken दिख गया और मैंने order कर दिया.
Yeah, when I see chicken, I tell myself, when I see the chicken, like just before cooking, I tell myself pesticides and antibiotics and global warming. But when it's cooked, you know, I tell myself it's very good for health. Please have it. It's protein.
I feel like, guys, like, you know, it's like you necessarily don't have to go like all the way, like vegan, like all the way extremely to like, you know, tackle climate change. You can also start or help by cutting down your meat intake weekly, right? Earlier, like if you're having meat 5 times a week, you can have like 2 times or 1 times. So that is also going to save all the, like, you know, contribute to a lesser carbon footprint.
Yeah, you're right, Pratik.
And there are many sustainable choices you can make without going all the way vegan, I feel.
Yeah, like not showering to save water.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, Risha and Pratik. So, let me say this one. Never have I ever stolen fries off someone's plate.
Okay. This is not true.
Yeah.
Okay. So, is it my turn now?
Ha.
Okay. It has to be true, right? Like when I say never have, it should.
No, it's not necessarily. Oh yeah, like yeah. Because for, yeah, with the fries, like yeah, I have also definitely done that. I'm sure like all of us have
always,
been there, done
always.
That.
Even I done that. Okay, Risha, now you have got the last turn, and tell us like what do you think?
Never I have ever switched off the light when of the toilet when my sister goes inside the toilet.
That's
always
true
with my brother. And sometimes I've also locked the door just to annoy him more.
Yeah, when those days we had kadi, we used to lock it.
Yeah, and Risha, that was a good one. And so evil, huh?
Yeah.
Exactly. That was so funny. And thank you so much for participating, Risha. You were incredible throughout the game.
Thank you. And thank you so much for answering all those questions with such enthusiasm. And we enjoyed this session a lot.
Yeah,
thank
for
you
sure.
So much, Pratiksha. Thank you.
So now we just have like a couple of questions left, which we ask every guest of ours. This helps our listeners to dive straight into your personalities. So are you ready, Risha?
Yes, I'm ready, Pratik.
Okay, so here it is. Do you have any role models, especially someone who has been a motivation for you to be in this sustainable field?
Role models in sustainability, there are so many, actually. I think this is not related to sustainability, but this is a guy, Kailash Satyagri, as you know, that he got the Nobel Prize for Bachpan Bachao Andolan. So, you know, when he started the Andolan, he was like having no contacts, no networking, and he just started from the scratch, and he could rescue so many girls from, you know, prostitution and things like that. So I think when I look at Kailash sir, I feel like anything is possible.
That's amazing. Actually.
Yeah.
And he's doing a right thing, and I really like want to know about him. Okay, next question for you. If you could go back 10 years from now, what advice would you give your younger self?
I have so much advice to give to my younger self that I would be like, stop wasting time, work hard.
Yeah, even I want to say that. Myself.
Yeah, everyone, we are like, oh yeah, we just were because when we are kids, we are in this bubble that job karege, nahi, padhai karege, phir job karege, phir ye karege, phir wo karege. But that doesn't happen in that way. So when I came abroad, I came to know that, oh my god, I need to like prove myself like anything in front of being an immigrant, in front of these born and brought up Irish people. So then I was like, yeah, I have to like, I wish I could have done more when I was a kid.
And yeah. I used to thought that post graduation ke baad life gets easy. Like post graduation ke baad you will get job, you will get like settled down, you will get and all my dreams shattered, man.
Yeah, thank you.
And the hustle never stops, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the best part of podcast, I guess. And you can listen to it and while working and so. But actually. Apart from the podcast, I wanted to say that when you are growing up, that time, this thing doesn't matter. And you feel like, arey, itni toh badi zindagi hai, abhi toh kya hai.
Childhood enjoy
time. That time, we feel ki that is the most important thing. And then after growing up, we realize ki haan, main time nahi waste karna chahiye. So that is like really tough.
Yeah. And like, I can tell my younger self that you don't need to do a degree to like work in sustainability. Like, because you just need to do a lot of courses, because there are people who do a lot of studies and still they are unable to find some place where they can work. And that's because, not because they are like lacking in something, but it's because the job market right now is not able to suck in all the sustainability enthusiasts, you know, because like see, now there is an oxygen shortage in India because nobody thought that we might need so much oxygen because we didn't need it in the first wave. The same thing is happening in sustainability. There are people who do engineering, there are people who do commerce, BSc, something different, and then the masters they do is related to sustainability. So the influx of graduates coming out in sustainability, like and the job market is not able to observe them. So I think like trying to find your own employment, like I have a cousin and he's starting his own startup because even he said this, like even if you're educated, it's you're unable to get an employment. So better you start something of your own to make a living.
Yeah,
I think
that's
what I'll tell my younger self, that you don't, when I was a kid, my mom
necessarily need a job. Yeah.
But I mean, but then I'm like, wait, but I to make a you put permafrost thawing bhi chal raha hai, but I to make a rise bhi ho raha hai, padhai to main kar rahi hu par more than 400 ppm jitna pollution bhi main breathe kar rahi hu, to main itna padhai karke main kya kar sakta, to main bachpan mein tree plantation karke abhi to itna to main help ho jata mera environment ka.
Exactly.
Yeah, actually the upbringing and the like college school education was like, right now I can go, I can I ask my cousin who is literally in fourth standard, and I ask him, do you have a subject of EVS, and he said environmental science. I asked him, he said ki no, I don't know. Then I looked at his book and I said, this is the EVS book, right? He's I asked him what is the full form of EVS, and he was like, no, I can't, I don't know. And I'm like, what you're learning in this? And he's like, he don't care, he just know that mathematics is important, he just know that science is important, but he don't know that environmental science is also important to survive.
Yeah, that's because it's not like completely, like that's what I think, our parents are not at fault because they just wanted us to like make money when we grow up. But the thing is, you know, the natural disaster happening all around the world, they are causing a recession everywhere, including Ireland, you know, because the only way you can make money is by exploiting their nature. All the money that we see around us, whether it's KPMG, EY or Deloitte or About, every company is making money by exploiting the environment. So usme kya hota hai ki now hum ab isme phas chuke hai, like wo chakkar mein se nikalna mushkil hai. So I think our parents wanted us to like make money, but now this making money thing has costed us our life. So I think doing like savings and trying to live on less money and doing something for the environment, at least when you become old, you can tell your children that, yeah, I worked hard for the environment, you know.
Exactly.
And luckily today's kids know so much through social media at least. And but thank you, those were amazing answers, and that's really great advice.
Yeah, they really were. Thank you so much for answering. I really appreciate that. We really loved having you on our podcast, Risha. I can't believe we have reached the end of this episode, man.
Really? Ending this episode?
We did. And where can our listeners find you?
I would love to connect with people, with you know, like-minded people in India especially, because I have like plans about how can I bring climate action in India. So if anyone wants to reach me, then LinkedIn, of course. My name is Risha Toms. And on LinkedIn you can find my email, and I'm ready to like reply to any text, just like you guys. Even I'm looking for kind of, you know, help to know how to go about this sustainability field, because the thing about sustainability is that like a software engineer follows a path, but sustainability hum jaise log, we make our way, hum kisi ko follow nahi karte, we make our own way. So kind of, you know, mentorship and all. So please do connect with me, I would love to talk to you guys.
Sure. I am like,
I will definitely reach out to you, Risha, during my summer, and we can always brainstorm on new ideas. So you can count me in for that. And that was the end of our episode, guys. Make sure you check out us on our Instagram page. It goes by the handle sustainability101. You can also go through our newly launched website. Yes, you heard it right. We have a website with us now. It is www.sustainability101podcast.com. It is a podcast with an S at the end. Until then, think sustainable and act responsible.
And thank you so much for everything you have done for us, guys. And we really love and appreciate your support. And that's the end of this episode. So stay tuned and bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. See you.